Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Show with Steve Caldwell. We share how leaders can step up their game. Let's get started by hearing something that makes me feel good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Oh! Have you ever wanted a place that you could go to learn the secrets of leadership without spending a fortune? I did too when I first started in management, but such a place just didn't exist. My team and I have been working to solve that problem, and I'm pleased to say we have solved it and it's live. It's called Mojo University. Check it out at mojouniversity.com. You will find real training, community, and access to experts in leadership. Get your mojo on at mojouniversity.com today.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Oh!
Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here. And I'm thrilled to introduce my special guest, Dan Blanchard, today. Now, Dan is an award-winning author of the book, The Storm, How Young Men Become Good Men. He's also a speaker, educator, and two-time junior Olympian wrestler, as well as a two-time junior Olympian wrestling coach. He teaches special education in Connecticut's largest inner city high school. He's a double veteran of the Army and the Air Force. And get this, he's earned 7 different degrees. So Dan knows that of which he speaks. And so, Dan, I'm really thrilled to have you today. Welcome to the Manager Mojo Show.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And I got to tell you, Steve, every time I hear my credentials being read like that, I always want to say, wow, that's a pretty cool dude. Who is that?
Well, we're going to find out today who that guy is. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. So, Dan, before I get started with our topic today, why don't you tell our listeners what fun thing that you've been up to lately outside of work?
Oh, okay. You know, this one might be a little bit different than what most people would be expecting. But believe it or not, as you mentioned, I'm a two-time junior Olympian wrestler. One of the fun things I've just been doing recently, I found a lot of joy in, believe it or not, going down my basement the last couple months and teaching myself to box with the boxing bag that's been sitting down there for like 20 years that I've never used. So I'm down there almost every single day now, hitting the bag. I got my kids. I got 5 kids, a son and 4 daughters, and my youngest daughters are down there hitting the bag with me, and we hit the bag for a few minutes, and then my daughter tags me and runs away, Steve, and I have to chase her around the basement for a couple minutes, and then we come back and we hit the bag again.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm having a great time with my daughter and me hitting the bag, and again, I'm like that wrestler. They're hitting the bag there and chasing my daughter, and then we're hitting the bag again. So it's been kind of fun. It's been very fun.
Dan, I love it. And you're absolutely right. That's not one that I've heard before. So congratulations. a unique way to have a good time. I love it. Of course, there's nothing better than having fun getting exercise and work and actually sharing it with your children. So that's really a great thing. So, Dan, what I want to talk about today, I know that you have spent an awful lot of time really helping the youth of your area and this country in learning how to become leaders. And so, if you don't mind, why don't you share a little bit of really your story and why you are interested in helping young people really learn how to become leaders, because they're going to be our future leaders in our businesses. So tell us a little bit about why you're interested in that topic.
Well, I got to tell you, Steve, I grew up in a dysfunctional home, an abusive home. My father was an alcoholic, and you know, I saw the toll that it took on my family. especially my older brother. It took a real, real bad toll on him. And, you know, he ended up as one of those socially, emotionally disturbed kids in the special education programs, you know, going through school. You know, never had any friends, was always fighting. And then eventually, you know, that fighting led to fighting with the police and being in and out of jail, and eventually an early death. So now, you know, years later, I find myself in a special education teaching job, and I'm working with the same exact students that are my brother, just like that. And I look out there, and I think, one, my brother never had a chance. Two, these kids. Who's given these kids a chance? And I know, Steve, this may sound bad, but on the night that my brother was killed, I was thanking God that he didn't have children, because I'm like, what kind of father would he have been? You know, I look at the students now, and I'm like, you know, it's going to be tough for these people to be good fathers, good parents, you know? It's going to be tough. So I'm trying to do my part to help the struggling kids out there make something of themselves through developing some leadership skills, building their self-confidence, that they can become more of what they are right now, you know, that their past doesn't equal their future. Their future's in their hands. They can mold it the way they want. They can become the type of person they want to become, and they can make a difference in this world, and then they can be the type of person that has kids and treats those kids like gold and gives those kids all the chances and opportunities in the world rather than the exact opposite, which is what, you know, I've seen firsthand as a child growing up and what I see on a daily basis, you know, as an inner-city educator. So, I mean, we need help. I mean, a lot of kids out there, Steve, need help. And I'm one of the guys that, you know, down in the trenches there trying to make a difference, you know, trying to bring that help to these kids because, as you said, Steve, this is our next generation. And if we just keep letting it go, you know, they're going to be adults, and then what? You know, they're just going to repeat the cycle. You know, the world's not going to get to be a better place if we don't do something. So I'm one of those guys, Steve, that's trying to do something through my leadership books and speeches and my motivating and inspirational talks.
Well, Dan, number one, congratulations, because we need people like you. And on behalf of leaders that are employing people and that listeners that are doing that very thing here on the show, we already understand. We see people come into our companies and into our businesses, and they come from different backgrounds. And unfortunately, so many come into the workplace, and they're ill-prepared for the work that they're going to be required to do, much less becoming a future manager and a future leader of the organization. And so we talk often on this show about the fact that that you can learn leadership skills. You don't have to be born to be a leader. You can learn. You can choose to do it. So based upon your experience with these kids, what are some of the fundamental lessons that they need to learn in the beginning if they're going to make that transition to responsible adult?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because I just had this talk yesterday with my students. And the talk I had yesterday with them was about stop blaming others. You know, and that's what they do. And I challenge these kids. I'm like, why? Why do you blame others? You know, you guys don't take responsibility. You blame others. And I kept pushing them and directing them and guiding them toward a couple things that they did not want to hear. I'm like, you know, you're blaming others because you're afraid. You know, fear is getting the best of you because you're scared. That's why you're blaming others, because, you know, either you don't want to step up or you don't know how to step up. You're afraid someone's going to make fun of you. You're afraid someone's going to say, look, he failed. He fell down on what he was trying to do. I said, so instead of, like, you know, having the courage just to pick yourself back up, you know, as leaders do, what do? Right away, you deflect it. You know, you point at somebody else. You make a lot of noise. You get loud. You say, look at that person. That person's like wearing stupid clothes, or that person's stupid, or that person's ugly. They got funny looking hair. I said, you start poking at them and trying to take the attention off of you and trying to say that, you know, like you didn't do anything wrong. And I'm like, and you know what, boys? If you didn't do anything wrong, if you didn't fall down somewhere, you're not doing anything. You're supposed to fall down somewhere and do things wrong. It's all part of the learning process of being a leader. I said, but yet, you know, you don't want to go down that road. You just want to keep making excuses. You just want to keep blaming others. You know, and if you could imagine, Steve, this conversation, this lesson, I actually weaved it into my lesson. You know, this went on for about 30 minutes of me really drilling it in their heads that you're doing this because you're scared. And you know how it is with these, you know, these tough boys, you know, especially up inner city boys. Don't you tell me I'm afraid. You know what I'm saying? I don't want anybody to ever think they're afraid. And I'm telling them right to their faces, you're scared. You know, you're afraid. You know, that's why you keep blaming others. And, you know, and sometimes they don't want to hear it. But that's, you know, one of the starting blocks is to face your fears and stop blaming others, take responsibility, and then do the work that you need to do to succeed, you know. And if it means a lot more work than you thought you should have been doing or a lot more work than you think is fair, then so be it. Be a leader. Do what's necessary. Be that man that you think you all are, you know, but you're not yet. So stop blaming others. And I just think that that's one of the first places for these kids to go is, you know, face that fear and stop blaming others, because that's all you do. They blame others and lets them off the hook, and they never do anything. They never accomplish anything. But yet they always talk big, you know, because it's easy to just go blame somebody else for your lack of success or to try to knock them down if they're making you look bad because they did something you didn't do.
That is absolutely so appropriate, because we see it in the workplace from adults. I've said for many, many years that what we wind up doing is bringing a lot of things that we practiced in our childhood into the workplace. And but we call it, we're nicer about it. We call it different things today. We'll say, well, you know, they're not engaged in the workplace. Well, they're not engaged because they're looking for, they hate this idea of accountability. So how do we, you know, from an accountability standpoint, what do you see? What are they back? Why do they run from it? Why do people in general do it? And what are some things that we can look for to help people?
Well, tell you the truth, Steve, I believe every adult in the workplace and every student in school, you know, or every athlete on a sports team, and, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, but the bottom line is we all want to succeed. Every one of us wants to succeed. You know, none of us want to be that lazy armchair quarterback that sits back there that does nothing except for someday get fat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that person that's hiding from accountability, the one that's scared. You know, we don't want to be that person that's always making excuses. The problem is, you know, most of today's kids and many, many of today's adults in the workplace, it's like we don't know how to go about it. You know, we don't know what to do. You know, and we are scared. You know what I'm saying? So what do? We hide. We hide from accountability. You know, we make those excuses. We blame others because we really don't know what to do. So what I'm thinking is that sometimes if you just get one partner, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it's a mentor. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's the manager. You know, who knows? Maybe it's the school crossing guard, the cafeteria worker. You know, if you get, like, for kids, you know, let's say one adult in their life that really cares for them. You know, in the workforce, could be one coworker that maybe is a little bit of a senior coworker, whether it's a manager or a boss or somebody like that who's actually maybe done a little something more than these entry-level people are doing. And you take these newbies, you know, at work or these students and kids in school or these kids in the athletic teams, you take them in and you show them that at least one person really cares about you. At least one person's really going to work with you and try to make a difference with you. I mean, I try to be that person. And if we get more people out there being that person, we're going to have more people that will eventually, you know, young and old alike, eventually will start gaining some confidence in their abilities. And that's, they're lacking confidence. you know, gaining their confidence in their abilities and start believing that maybe they can do the job, you know, whether it's at work or whether it's an essay that's sitting in front of them. You know, maybe they can get that job done and get it done well. You know, maybe they can do good. Maybe they can become somebody special. You know, they can do something. Maybe they can make a difference. So, you know, if we have somebody that's building that relationship with them and not letting them slide, you know, holding them accountable, now not in a mean, punitive way, but let's say in a supportive way, you know, holding them accountable and making that difference in their life and showing them, you know, your past doesn't equal your future. You can do this. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to run from responsibility. So if you think about it, Steve, what is really responsibility? I mean, it's like a dreaded word. Nobody really wants it. They all run from it, right? But responsibility really is just the ability to respond. You know, when I say that to my students, I'm like, put on your cape. Be a superhero. Have the ability to respond, you know, through responsibility. You know, stop running from it. You know, stop making excuses. Stop being scared. Take some time to, like, you know, maybe seek out mentors, seek out help. And then, of course, on the other end of that, you know, us that are, you know, in these positions of authority, we got to, you know, take some extra time to work with these people, because you're right, Steve. I mean, I'm talking to a lot of my buddies who are business owners, and they're saying the same thing. You know, you got people coming in. They're just, they go, they're lazy. They don't know what to do. They don't know the beginnings of how, where to get started. And, you know, we get some very frustrated business owners and managers and bosses out there right now with these kids. And I think that, you know, we can make a difference, but it goes both ways, Steve.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because, you know, I hear people want to blame a whole generation. And so therefore today, it's been ever since the baby boomer generation, we've labeled every generation. And now we call the millennials that are coming in the workplace, and everybody wants to say they're lazy and they don't do this, they don't do that. And to some degree, some of that is true in that you have workplace problems with them. But the reality is we've had workplace problems just like that with people not showing up, lazy, not helping or being willing to be held accountable. It's been happening every single generation. The missing component, in my opinion, you hit on, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. And that missing component is that one person in the company or in their life that cares. I find today that the hectic pace that we are all living in has made us almost people that just don't care about anything or anybody other than ourselves. And I don't think that that's healthy for us. And I think that we have to be willing to care for people. The Gallup organization has completed the same study now for the last 15 years. And in the workplace alone, people leave the company because their manager does not connect with them. If they had one single thing they'd want, is they want their manager to connect with them in a one-on-one basis. And yet, whenever I mention this to a lot of managers, they go right back to what you talked about, which is the fear. You know, well, yeah, but can you really show people you care? Well, why don't you give some examples of how you can care? What does it mean when we say that we care about other people, and that these young people are looking for that?
I agree with everything you just said, and I've read that study too about how your manager or your boss or supervisor makes or breaks you. And, you know, we all know how expensive it is to retrain people, to train new people. So managers have really got to step up and find that way to keep their workforce from running out on them, because it's very expensive to have your workforce running out on you. So I totally agree with everything you said. And before I address that Karen thing, I just want to say one more thing. Is a lot of my early writings and a lot of my early speakings was around this concept of granddaddy's secrets, trying to share that it goes both ways. You know, we have to have our youth, they have to develop some kind of initiative where they seek out, let's say, help. They seek out a mentor. They seek out direction from somebody. They have to do that. They have to stop making excuses and do that. But at the same time, the older generation needs to, you know, stop looking at them like they're a bunch of punks and start saying, you know what, these are people that can be molded. These young people can be molded into something special. and we need to start spending time with them and showing them that we care. And I feel bad because you get this whole generation that's being lost because their parents might be working two jobs, you know, or overtime or whatever. Both parents are working, and you get these parents and these adults, you know, whether they're coaches or teachers or wherever they fit into this generation, oh, gap, oh, they're just so busy. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. They're so busy, and they're so tired, and they're frustrated, and when their kid does something, they fly off the handle, or their student does something, or their athlete does something, they fly off the handle at them because they're just worn out, and they don't have the patience. So that's where I said, you know what, the whole granddaddy secret thing comes in nicely here. Because you may have an older generation, a grandparents' generation that's available, you know, and they're not old fogies washed up. They're very valuable. They're very wise, and they've got a lot to offer our youth. So I think during those moments when the parents or that generational age is overwhelmed and unable to do what they need to do to help these kids, I would love to see the older generation of the grandparents' generation step back in to fill in that gap for our kids today, you know, and give our parents or that generational age like a little relief because, you know, they're trying to do their best, but they're so overwhelmed and so buried in everything with all the financial stresses and everything else and job stressors they have to do. So now going on to your question, Steve, I mean, how do you show, you know, that you care about somebody? And I think there's some simple tricks. You know, maybe I hesitate to call them tricks because it's not really tricks. You know, you're not trying to trick anybody. You're trying to show somebody you care. But some simple strategies that you can do is, one, be very patient with them. You know, don't fly off the handle and blow up at them and yell at them because, you know, that's a great way to drive them away. You know, and once you do something like that, now it's hard to win them back over and to build that rapport. So I think that if you spend time, especially in today's hectic times, if you spend time with our young people, you're showing them that you care. If you don't judge them, if you hear them out and don't correct them, you know, every time they say something that you think is wrong, you know, just let it go. Who cares if they're wrong or they're saying something wrong? You know, as long as it's not hurting anybody or messing up the job, you know, but if they're talking about a whatever, you know, a team they like or politics or whatever or something in their own personal lives, you know, don't just jump in and correct them and make them feel like they're once again wrong and inept. So have patience with them. Don't jump in and correct them and don't blow up at them. Don't yell at them. I mean, you just do some of these things, you know, and you try to listen to them and understand them and where they're coming from. And maybe every now and then, you know, maybe go try some of their food. You know, go try to listen to a little of their music with them or try to play a video game with them. You know, these are like things that, like, you know, that are not high on our list to do. But if we did these things, Steve, you know, us older generation, and then hopefully got a little relief from the grandparents' generation, I think that we can really make a big dent in, you know, the things that have been going wrong with our youth today. So it's doable. It's something we can do, Steve.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's every one of those things you mentioned about being patient and spending time with people, don't judging and correcting them, and to do things that they're interested in. All of those are good activities. And it's consistent, by the way, with the best managers, the best leaders in business, because those that are the best, they do exactly those things. In other words, they don't come to work with a judgmental attitude. And this was a lesson, I think, that I had to learn the hard way. I actually was one of those people when I first came into the workforce many, many years ago. I'm absolutely guilty of judging others, especially their work ethic. I just didn't see that. I actually, it was a source of pride to me that nobody was going to outwork me. And the problem with that is that I'm judging everybody else for not being as crazy as I was. And it just doesn't make sense. But I think so many people have not had conversations with people like you and people like me that have learned that those methods don't work. And
absolutely,
so
Stephen.
They take it to work and then you're in trouble.
Absolutely, I agree with you fully. Don't mind me jumping in and picking
you back. I don't at all.
I had to learn the hard way too. I mean, I remember I was like fresh out of the Army, and I was used to, you know, a lot of gung-ho, going 110 miles an hour, you know, 20 hours a day, and a lot of hooting and shouting and hollering and screaming, you know, and hoo-ah, you know, and all that stuff. And at the time, I was also a wrestling coach, and a lot of those techniques and strategies worked very well on the wrestling mat when I was a wrestling coach. It worked very well as a football coach, you know, which I was, and it worked very well in the military. And then all of a sudden, I got put in a middle school special education, socially emotionally disturbed behavioral class, and I was hooting and hollering and being intense and, you know, showing the kids with everything I had that I was so intense and so dedicated. I wasn't going to let them down. I wasn't going to let them fail. I was going to push them harder than they ever been pushed before. And you pick up my book right now off that floor, you know, and this and that. And I was doing all that stuff, Steve. And holy cow, that didn't work. You know, and I kept thinking, why is it not working? It worked in the Army. It worked in the football field. It works on the wrestling mat. But it did not work in the classroom. And it took me a while to figure out, what the heck is happening here? This is terrible. And I was miserable, Steve, in that job. And I was thinking terrible thoughts about those kids. You know, I've never seen such lazy, disrespectful, unorganized, you know, every name in the book, you know.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
It took me a long time, Steve, but I had to realize that, guess what? You know, they say leadership is service, right?
Right.
I wasn't really doing anything to serve those kids during my first, let's say, 6 months, maybe my first year of teaching with that gung-ho approach. I wasn't serving them. You know, it took me a while to figure out how to serve them correctly.
Well, Dan, I totally get that, and I want to point out, I want to just speak to our listeners right now. I can assure you, listeners, that what you just heard Dan share, we've done in business. We look at our team of people and we say that they're lazy and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and we're going to make them do it, and we're going to provide all that. And just like Dan found out and just like I found out, it really doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
So Dan, you figured out how to adapt your methods. And so why don't you share, what are the top two or three things that you tell yourself that you need to do, your self-coaching, that helps you really demonstrate the patience that we talked about and this spirit of really helping another person? What are some of those things that you tell yourself that really works for you?
Well, Steve, I got to tell you, I mean, I just mentioned to you that leadership is really about serving.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I've learned over the years that's made a huge difference for me is that I have really learned inside and out, and, you know, in some ways I've developed my own style and my own way of doing this. I've learned a thing that's called inspirational leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I still outwork every single person that I meet. Every one of my students, every one of my athletes, I outwork them. And when they're not doing what I ask them to do and they're laying down the job, I, instead of yelling at them and getting on their case, I do everything I can to inspire them. And then I share with them trials and tribulations and failures and successes and the ups and downs of my own life. And I lead them that way to show them, like, look, I tried this, I failed. I did this, I failed. But tomorrow, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this tomorrow. You know, whatever it may be, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and try to get that 11th rep, you know, on this. So it could be something as simple as that. I'm going to try to run another 5 minutes tomorrow. You know, I'm going to try to make that phone call tomorrow to that big shaker and mover that I've been afraid to call and tell them about my book or something like that. So I share with them the things that I'm doing and that I'm a human. But boy, am I an inspiring human, you know, and I want them, you know, I want them to say, I want to be like him. And I've had kids over the years that have done that. You know, I pulled kids aside, or kids have come back years later, and I said, let me ask you, you made a heck of a team. You had incredible success, you know, whether it was on that wrestling mat or that football field or in the classroom or whatever it was. You had incredible success. And I'm like, how did you do it? Because I want to tell these other kids how you did it. And I've had many of them over the years, people look at me and say, I did it because I wanted to be like you, coach, or I wanted to be like you, mister, like that. So that right there, I mean, if I'm screaming at them and howling at them and trying to do it, you think they're going to want to be like me? There's no way. So a couple things that I think we all need to work on and focus and think about so that we're not doing these things that are driving a wedge deeper and deeper between us is that leadership is very, very, very important. And the ways you need to lead are through service and inspiration. You know, and of course, sharing yourself with them. Let them know that you're a real person, you know, a real person with fears and everything that they're struggling with. You're struggling with it too, maybe at a different level, but you're struggling with it just like them. You're scared just like them. You're a person just like them, and you're going to keep fighting on because you're going to inspire them. And I'll tell you, Steve, when you do these things and you see that it's starting to make a difference in their lives, whether they're your students, your athletes, or your employees, I'll tell you right now, you don't want to back off. You want to keep going and keep going and trying to do bigger and bigger things yourself so that you can, you know, lead by example and be that inspirational model that serves them and serves their needs and changes their lives for the better. So, again, this is like, you know, it's not like a secret. It's not something that we can't do. We can all do this. If we make the extra effort to do this, we can do this.
Absolutely. Well said, well said. And I'll tell you, you've inspired me, and I know you've inspired a lot of people. Dan, why don't you share with our audience what's the best way they can follow your work and connect with you?
Okay, great. See, thank you for offering me this opportunity. I mean, there's a bunch of ways. I'm all over social media. You know, you can go to my website at danblanchard.net. Make sure it's net, you know, not .com. I also have another website, granddaddysecrets.com. So you can get on that. You can, you know, Google me, Dan Blanchard, or you can Google, you know, Granddaddy Secrets or whatever. There's a whole bunch of ways you can get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. You know, I got Skype. I got Google Plus. You know, I'm on all the media channels. So it's very easy to find me. And if you go on my website, and there's, you know, there's a tab right there, contact Dan. I got multiple email addresses there. My phone number's there. If you want to call me, I'd love to speak to you. You know, I get phone calls from time to time. I love the phone calls I get. Love the emails I get from people. So definitely, please do contact me. Get a go on my website, check it out, check me on social media, and, you know, zip me like a hello email or a phone call or something. I'd love to talk to you.
That's awesome, Dan. And for those of you that are exercising and listening to the show, don't worry. We're going to put the links to Dan's website directly in the post to make it easy for you so you can connect with him. Dan, I want to, on behalf of all of the leaders and managers that listen to Manager Mojo and that's in my sphere of influence, I want to thank you for all of the great work you're doing with our youth, and thank you for inspiring us and being the kind of leader that says we can make a difference. We really appreciate your contribution, and I know many of us will want to continue to wish you success in everything that you do. So thank you for being a part of the show today.
Well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here and share with you guys.
Our guest today, Dan Blanchard, he's the author of The Storm, How Young Men Become Good Men. And I know you've heard many things that Dan said today that are going to inspire you to lead your team to even greater success this very coming week. So thank you for being a part of the show and look forward to hearing you next time. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you really enjoyed the broadcast and that you're finding it very valuable. If you do, please leave a review on iTunes. We certainly would appreciate it. It would help share the show with others. And as always, if I can help you, please email me, Steve at ManagerMojo.com. Would love to have a conversation. Take care.